We're continuing our studies in the book of Romans, and this morning we want to look at Romans 8:28, a verse that a lot of people find comfort and encouragement in their walk with the Lord, because it tells us that, and I'm going to read this verse, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." And there are times when things are not working well as far as our perspective is concerned. And it's encouraging to know that God has got a perspective as well. And so I thought it would be good for us to draw from this verse some thoughts that will continue to encourage us, because we all need encouragement in the things of the Lord. I'm encouraged that we can know some things. We can know this. This is no doubt. In fact, it's interesting. This word "know" is perfect active, and being in the perfect tense, it means to know by observation. That's what the lexicon says: to know by observation. I think all of us can tell of experiences of how God has worked things out for you in circumstances and situations. One of the things that bothered me this week was the fact that I thought something was wrong with my computer. I thought maybe it was the charger had failed and my battery light was blinking. And so I thought, well, I need a new battery, or I need for my laptop, or I need to send my laptop in to get it repaired, which would be gone for 2 weeks, which I didn't care for too much. Anyway, I did some shopping on the internet, and I found a good price on a battery. So I called them, and nobody answered the phone. I says, well, I looked at the clock. I says, well, it's in California. They probably need some more time. So I waited till 10:30 our time, which is 8:30 their time, and called them. They still didn't answer the phone. So by the time I got through stewing around and shopping on the internet, my battery charged. So I was so glad that they didn't answer the phone, so I had to be spending money that I didn't need to spend, you know? So I would say that's an observation. I know that all things work together. It may be a simple thing, but you know what? There are things that happen in our life that are that we don't even really know that is going on. But there are times when we do experience things that that are of greater difficulties than a problem with a computer. In Romans 8:22, we find the same expression, that we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Well, we can see that. The volcano in the Far East, erupting, mudslides, tsunamis. There's difficulties. You know, the hurricane season is coming, and they're anticipating grave destruction in the coastal areas in the Northeast as well. So we can see from experience that creation is groaning. I consider the events in the world as a demonstration of things working together, these things we can know, that this is working, and that creation is groaning. So we can see that. I was just thinking about those that were observing the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about Nicodemus in John 3:2. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, which is being saying teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. There was no doubt in this man's mind. He says, we know. And I like it that it says we. It wasn't just it just wasn't him. It was a bunch of guys, a bunch of his friends, knew that he was a teacher coming from that came from God. How did he know that? he observed the miracles that he did. And he knew that no man can do the miracles that Jesus did if God wasn't with him. So Nicodemus knew that God was with the Lord Jesus. He may not have known everything there was to know about the Lord, but he did know that he was a man sent, that a man from God. So he observed the miracles. I know that we can, by reading the scriptures, we can know certain things. Romans 15:4 tells us, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. We can see how God worked in the Old Testament. You know what? That encourages me. I'm not having to do what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. I'm not having to do that. But if it ever happens, I can take courage. And in Daniel 3:28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's words. Now that's fun. You know what? When you can do that, that's really great fun. But you know what? There was a time when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wasn't anticipating a great time. They were anticipating becoming cinders. But you know what? They were willing to become cinders for God. And God used that event in their life to change the king's word. And it says, and they yielded their bodies. They just surrendered their bodies. We're to yield our bodies as living sacrifices, aren't we? They did the same thing. And everybody wants to walk around in a fiery furnace, but it's difficult to get there. But you know what? All things work together for them. And it was, they experienced things that I've never experienced. But you know what? Things work together for good for them. And not only for good for them, but for others. He changed the king's command. Daniel in the lion's den. Another, just because Daniel wanted to, going to be faithful in praying to his God every day, three times a day. And in Daniel 6:20-21, it says, and when he, that is the king, came to the den, the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel, boy. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. And I would say that Daniel got the best night's sleep. Might have been a little smelly where he was, but you know what? When you're sleeping, you don't worry about the stench. It was the king that was up all night. And you know what? We need to be as committed to Daniel, and we get to experience some things that may be difficult. Now, there are some things we know that all things work together for good. And this working together for good is a continuous thing. It's not just an event. I'm sure there were other things that happened in Daniel and his friends' lives that aren't written or recorded for us. But, you know, they had a testimony in the land, and God used them. When I think about when I was in college, I remember taking a course in speech where we had to, you know, get up in front of everybody and give a talk, which was, a new experience for me, though I had had some opportunities to teach Sunday school while I was in the Navy. But anyway, I was in Mrs. G. Carl Green's speech class. In every class when we started, we all quoted Psalms 37, 23, and 24. And it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And so we can take courage to know that we may fall, we may get an owie, we may get a skint knee, but the Lord is still there, and he'll get you up when it's time to get up. And so the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and the Lord is working things together for good for him. I just think about Joseph's steps. Joseph had many steps. He told his dreams to his brothers, and they hated him. They sold him into slavery, into Egypt. And then Joseph's boss didn't believe his wife, but he couldn't do anything but put Joseph in a prison. Normally, if you are attacking him, a man of his stature's wife, that's just execution automatically. But Joseph, the Lord didn't allow the man to believe that, and he was in prison. And then he was forgotten. Can you imagine 2 years waiting for the cupbearer to remember Joseph's name? And the Lord just gave him a little bit of amnesia. But anyway, it says, Joseph said unto them, and his brothers, he brought his brothers in, and he fed them, and his father. And so, what were, how did God order the steps of Joseph? Well, he ordered them in a way that it would be a blessing to not only to his brothers, but to all. Genesis 50, verses 19 and 20. And Joseph said unto them, his brothers, fear not, am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Not only did he save his own family, but he saved Egyptian families as well. I just think about the little children who walked through the wilderness in Deuteronomy 8. And the Lord says, or Moses said, and thou shalt remember all the ways which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Now these are the little children, okay? Mom and dad at this time are dead. They perished. So he made them, the little children, to wander around with mom and dad for 40 years to humble them, to prove them, to know what was in their heart, whether they would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna that you didn't even know what it was. Now, that's all things working together for good for them. God was preparing them for a warfare, I should say, because they were getting ready to go in to fight a war. But those things work together for their good. In verses 15 and 16, it says, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee. And this is what you need to get. To do thee good, when? At thy latter end. The Lord's teaching us in the beginning by disciplining us, forcing us to do things we don't want to do. Why? So that we will end well. It's not how you begin, it's how you end. And when I think about fiery serpents, I don't think they were on fire. I just think that those serpents were mad all the time. They were looking for somebody to strike. And I was just thinking about scorpions. I was just thinking about Solomon's son, that who became king after Solomon. He told the elders of Israel, he says, "My father beat you with whips. He says, I'm going to beat you with scorpions. Scorpion stings are worse than a whip's, a lash's sting." Anyway, so it's the latter end that's important. And I really am encouraged by Jeremiah 29:11, one of the verses I memorized when I was in the Navy. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God's got a plan, and He's working those things together for us. Now, He's doing that for those who love God. And the sad thing about it is this: not all of God's kids love Him. Keep that down. Keep that in mind. Not all of God's kids love Him. How do I know that? Well, the Lord says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." Do you know any kids in the family of God that are not being obedient? I have. Me. I've known me. There were times when I did not live like I should have lived. And it hurt me. It hurt me. It hindered me. So we need to appreciate the fact that loving the Lord is necessary. And this is in the present tense. It's the ones that are believing all the time. Loving all the time. Loving God. In Deuteronomy 10, it tells us what God requires. Verse 12 says, "Now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, and to love Him, and serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." That's what the Lord's looking for us, not only from Israel, but from us as well. And you know what? If you don't have the fear of God in your life and in your heart, you're not going to be interested in His Word or His commandments, much less keeping them. So do not shy away from the fear of the Lord. In fact, you need to learn the fear of the Lord. Just getting saved does not give you the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, if you read in the Old Testament, is taught. It's the reading of the Scriptures that produce the fear of the Lord. And I've been reading through 2 Chronicles this week. Oh man. The fear of the Lord is there for me, because when I see what the kings did and what happened because of what they did, I just say, "Lord, don't let me do that. Don't let me start out good and then get a big head and go try to burn incense in the temple like Uzziah did." Or they were good kings and they got themselves in trouble. And I say, you know what that makes me pray? "Lord, don't let me do that." And I appreciate the reading those events. And then there are some events in the Old Testament. I say, "Oh Lord, I don't want to read this. I know what's going to happen to that guy." You know? But yet it's there for our learning. Now, in John 14:21, it says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." The word "hath" here is not present the idea. This doesn't mean, I have his commandments. Here they are. We were talking about this in Sunday school. And I'm keeping them. So I put them in a box and put them on the shelf. And that way I have them and I'm keeping them. That's not what God's interested in us doing. He's not interested in us taking a Bible, putting it in a box so it won't get dusty. You don't want to have a dusty Bible, so you put it in a box so the dust settles on the box. Now, what this word "hath" is a present active of echo, and it means to regard. He that regardeth my commandments. You have respect for them. They are important to you. They are of value to you. That's what the word "hath." That's the meaning of the word "hath." I regard His commandments as important to Him and therefore needs to be important to me. And I am keeping them. I'm obeying them. I'm guarding them. And I'm doing this all the time. That's what the word keepeth. Just like up in verse 15 of John 14. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, let's see, oh, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Same word. And notice what the benefits are. If you're doing that, it says that he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. You want to be loved of the Father? You esteem the commandments and you keep them. And if you'll do that, the Father will love you. And not only that, he says, and I will love him. And I will manifest myself to him, to you. In other words, the Lord will make himself real to you in times of testing, trials, and the things that he's doing in your life. And that's what you need. That's what I need from time to time. I need to sense his presence with me. And he manifests himself different ways. Like, for instance, when I can't get through on the telephone. I gave him praise for that. I acknowledged him for that. So, in the case of Saul, in 1 Samuel 13:13, Saul is an example of those who didn't love the Lord. And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God." 15:23, 1 Samuel. "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he also hath rejected thee from being king." You know what? That's pretty expensive. When you do not regard his commandments and you're stubborn, that means you don't change, you don't repent, you don't acknowledge your sin, as David did, and because of his rebellion, he was rejected being king. He lost the privilege of ruling and reigning in Israel, and we can lose the privilege of ruling and reigning in his coming kingdom. Now, looking back in Romans 8:28 again, it says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." The word called. This is an adjective describing those that love Him. We're talking about those that love Him. That's why I put the dative plural with the word "them that love God" and the word "called." It's an adjective describing those who love the Lord. And what are we called to? Well, first of all, if you're not saved, you can't be called. 2 Timothy 1:9 tells us that He saved us and called us. If the calling was to get saved, the calling would be first in this verse, but it didn't. It's second. He saved us and He called us. And He called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. In other words, He didn't call us with this holy calling because we performed some great stuff for God. That's not the way it works. This calling of God is because God wants to. And it's according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, before the ages began. And so therefore, it's the saved that are called. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 14, it says, "Many are called, but few are chosen." Out of the saved, many are called. And then, what are we called to? Well, Paul told Timothy, who was a man of God, to fight the good fight of faith, to lay hold on age-lasting life, whereunto thou art called. Did you know that life for the coming kingdom age is a holy calling? And as a man of God, we're to lay hold on that. We're to grab a hold of it and not turn loose. That's not something that we're talking about putting in the pocket. I think this has been something to do with laying hold on the value of having age-lasting life or ruling and reigning with Christ in His coming kingdom so that it doesn't get away from us. We've been called into that life in His coming kingdom and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. In other words, it's important to let people know that that's what you're pursuing. You're pursuing life for the age. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, we see that the calling is unto His kingdom and glory, that we walk worthy of God who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believeth. Present tense. So we've been called unto His kingdom and glory, and we can thank God for that. And we need to appreciate the fact that it's through Paul's gospel that we have been called to that kingdom and glory. 2 Thessalonians 2:14, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word obtaining is also translated purchase. It's translated peculiar. It's translated acquired. This isn't just simply dumped on us. It's acquired glory. And Revelation chapter 17 tells us the lords and kings that are with Him are who? Let me just read it. Revelation 17:14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for He is the Lord of lords, the King of kings, and they that are with Him are who? They're the called. And they are the chosen and the faithful. I think that word faithful in there is so important. If you're called and you're unfaithful, you're not going to be with Him. If you're chosen and you're not faithful, you're not going to have an abundant entrance into the coming kingdom. That's just why we're exhorted by Peter to make our calling and election sure. And one way to do that is being faithful. Being faithful to God. Now, He has called us according to His purpose. Now, what is His purpose? Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. It's the purpose is an inheritance. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. Notice that the purpose of His will, or the good pleasure of His will, is a mystery. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Now, reading that verse as background material for Romans 9, 11, and 12. In other words, He made known the mystery of His will. It has to do with obtaining an inheritance based upon being predestined according to His purpose and after the counsel of His own will. And we see that purpose in Romans chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. For the children, that is, Esau and Jacob, being yet not born, neither having done any good or evil, in other words, it's not according to their works, He called them. Not according to their works. neither having done any either done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Now, his purpose has to do with our inheritance. And the election in Romans 9:11 has to do with the inheritance of two fellows. God chose two brothers to help us to understand the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he has purposed in himself, and after the counsel of his own will. All of this is working within the body of Christ, within those that are saved. And what is the purpose of his will? Verse 12. And it was said unto her, the elder, firstborn, Esau, shall serve or be in subjection to the younger, Jacob. That's the purpose of his will. It's position and place in the family. And that is according to his purpose that he has chosen us. In Matthew 20 verse 16, it says, so the last shall be first. And the word first is also translated chief. Chief. And the first shall be lowest, last. Many be called to glory, but only a few chosen. The word chosen is elect. And these elect according to his purpose. So what should we be doing? What we should be doing is that we need to be faithful to the Lord. Kings and lords in his coming kingdom, if we are faithful to him. He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. All things are working together for good to those who love him and those that are called into his kingdom and glory. And when we look at the children of the little children who came out of Egypt, they had been given everything they needed to make the journey from Egypt into the promised land. They had the jewels of gold, the jewels of silver, and the raiment. The same items that Rebekah had when she left the Ur of the Chaldees to meet her husband, the bride, or the being the bride of Isaac, at the well of Lahai-Roi in the desert, or in out from the tent of his family. And the Lord is working together for those of us who have been called, and we just need to be faithful to him. Father, I just pray that you would bless these thoughts to each of us as we are encouraged in our walk with thee to be faithful. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to continue to grow and understand these things, though it be a mystery and not easy to grasp, and sometimes not easy to teach because it doesn't sound like it's fair. But we know that we've been bought with a price, and that we're not our own, and that you can do with your own those things that are pleasing to you, and we just need to trust you with that. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.